السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. كنت منكم كتاب بكتا الشمس ونبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلك الله فتا تشمع شحكينا وصابة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى عما بعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Discussing the sunnahs before sleeping. Sunnahs before sleeping. It is substantiated from hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rested at some time or the other on the following: a mat made from palm leaves, a chatai, a straw mat, on the ground, on a bed, a mat made from cloth, on a wooden bed, on skin and hide. It is substantiated from the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rested at some time or the other on the following: a mat made from palm leaves, a chatai, a straw mat, on the ground, on a bed, a mat made from cloth, on a wooden bed, on skin and hide. It is sunnah to sleep in the state of wudu. It is sunnah to sleep in the state of wudu. Before climbing into bed, dust the bed thrice with the corner of your clothes. Before climbing into bed, dust the bed thrice with the corner of your clothes. Before sleeping, say Bismillah and do the following. Number one, close the door. Number two, put out the lamp. Number three, fasten the mouth of the leather with a water bag. Number four, cover the utensil. It has been mentioned in the hadith that shaitan instructs the mouse to drag along the candle, which become the means of starting a fire. It is mentioned in Muslim Sharif that there is one night in the year wherein plague descends. If this plague has to pass over any open utensil, then a portion of the plague definitely falls into it. It has been mentioned in hadith that shaitan instructs the mouse to drag along the candle, which becomes the means of starting a fire. It is mentioned in Muslim Sharif that there is one night in the year wherein plague descends.
Plague
descends. If this plague has to pass over any open utensil, then a portion of the plague definitely falls into it. If one cannot find anything with which to cover the utensil, then one should place a stick across the top of the utensil. If one cannot find anything with which to cover the utensil, then one should place a stick across the top of the utensil. It is forbidden to engage in storytelling after Isha. It is forbidden to engage in storytelling after Isha. It is better to sleep immediately after Isha. It is permissible to remain awake for listening to lectures and advices and to earn one's livelihood. When going to sleep, it is sunnah to apply surma thrice in each eye, for both males and females. Continuing from the kitab, Effective Remedies for Spiritual Maladies by A'i Billah Hazrat Akhtar Masha Hakim Omar Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. Accidental glances. The pardoning of the first accidental gaze, as narrated in the hadith, is only applicable to those circumstances and occasions where a woman is not expected to appear and she suddenly comes within sight. In this instance, the first glance, which was purely accidental, is forgiven. The pardoning of the first accidental gaze, as narrated in the hadith, is only applicable to those circumstances and occasions where a woman is not expected to appear and she suddenly comes within sight. In this instance, the first glance, which was purely accidental, is forgiven. To continue staring thereafter, or to gaze for a second time, or in the direction where a woman is expected to appear, are all haram and sinful, and do not fall within the purview of the forgiveness announced in this hadith. To continue staring thereafter, or to gaze for a second time, or in the direction where a woman is expected to appear, are all haram and sinful, and do not fall within the purview of their forgiveness announced in this hadith. It is thus compulsory to keep the gaze low, in shopping areas, public places, offices, transport services, roads, etc., where the emergence of female is in the greater proportion nowadays than even that of men. The nafs has to be kept under strict control in such places, otherwise on the pretext of the first glance, the nafs will spare none in its gluttonous desire for pleasure and delight. Never should the gaze be allowed to stray in such places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to put in practice whatever.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت إن الله عليم خبير. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers and sisters and those who are listening over streaming, as Adil was reading from the book, in the pronunciation of one of the words. So the word is spelled P-L-A-G-U-E. And the U-E is silent. So when he read that, an incident came to mind. As the person was learning English, so he had been studying the books English, and he was trying to learn the language. So he happened to be on a plane. Next to him was an Englishman that was sitting next to him. So the conversation started. So that person from England asked him that, "Brother, where are you going?" So he said, "I'm going to the Hague. I'm going to the Hague. So he said, Where's the Hague? So he told him, it's in Europe. He said, "You never heard of Hague?" They said, never heard of it. They said, "It's in Netherlands." So the Englishman said, "Oh, you mean the Hague? Hague." So he said, "No, it's Hague." He said, "No, it's Hague." So then the argument started, and the Englishman was trying to prove to him that the U-E-E is silent, it's not pronounced. So eventually this person realized that he's not getting anywhere. So he said, "Okay, well then in that case, don't argue with me. So the Englishman said, No. It's not argue, it's argue. It's argue." So now this person became even more confused. So he said that, "Well, in that case, English is very vague. It's very vague." So in any case, the lesson we learn from this particular story is that in order for a person to learn a language, it is not sufficient for him to confine his acquisition of that language to textbooks and books. He has to inevitably go to somebody who he speaks the language. Somebody who actually speaks the language, if he spends some time in that person's company, he'll pick up the language, any language for that matter. If that's the case with worldly knowledge, what about dini knowledge? It is so important for us also to get our dini knowledge and our deen from the qualified ulama, from the sulaha, from the pious ones. Spend time in the company. Then we will get a correct understanding of deen. Otherwise the person will just pick up the kitab and read it, and sometimes the person can get an incorrect understanding of deen, which will then lead to frustration. And the person will say, it's very, very hard. This particular ruling of Islam does not make, na'udhu billah, does not make sense to me. What has happened is that the person has not spent time in the company of the ulama, the sulaha. Had he done that, then he would have realized that deen is not only easy to practice, in fact it's enjoyable. In fact, it is enjoyable. Nevertheless, respected Al-Aziz and brothers, there has been a request also that in tonight's program we also make a little dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the plan is that at exactly 7 o'clock inshallah, or rather 8 o'clock, the dhikr will commence, and thereafter we terminate the dua, qurbas inshallah. So in the few minutes, the minutes that we have, we know now, alhamdulillah, the Mubarak month of Sha'ban has commenced. It's an extremely important month. In last week's program, we spoke about this aspect of preparing ourselves for the auspicious and the great Mubarak month of Ramadan. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, we should have already started certain things in our lives. Remember that the month of Ramadan, amongst the many things that we will be engaging ourselves in, will be the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, would be to a certain extent the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we will intensify our salah during the month of Ramadan. And most importantly, we are going to be developing the quality of taqwa. That is why Allah ta'ala has granted us this month of Ramadan. So we have to make every effort to acquire this great quality of taqwa. In the Jummah Bayan, we had mentioned in one of the venues, that the entire purpose and the objective of the month of Ramadan is to acquire the dawlat and the wealth of taqwa. And the example that we gave in that Jummah Bayan is that if a person decides that he wants to open up a business, and somebody asks him, brother, why are you opening up the business? So he says that I'm opening up the business because I would like to earn profits. If you really think about it, that the real objective of any business is so that they can make some kind of profit. That's their goal, that's the objective of the business. And now the person does a lot of things. He acquires a shop, perhaps it's on rental, perhaps he purchases the land, perhaps he builds a shop, whatever it may be. There's a lot of effort that goes into that. The setting up of the shop, the equipment, the electrical side of things, the plumbing side of things, the tiling side of things, and then the acquisition of the various items. And before even acquiring the items, the person perhaps may do an analysis in that community to see what is the requirement, what is the need in this particular area. Is there a need for this particular commodity that I'm going to be supplying? Yes or no? He does some survey, even if it is just merely driving through the area and taking a glance, whatever it may be. But there's certain calculations that are taking place in his mind. He then sets up the shop. He gets the necessary equipment in order for the smooth functioning of the buying and the selling, etc., etc. He does it today's time. He looks at the security concerns, which is so important. All of that is taken. So much of effort. Then he looks at getting the correct staff in order for that business to function properly. All of that is being done. The person is exhausted after he's finished, and that business is looking good now. The stock, the shelves are nice and full. He's got good lighting system, air conditioner, all of that. Now at the end of that month or that year or that year or that 6 months, if the person did not make any profit, no profits, In fact, he may even ran at a loss. He himself will say that this is business as a total waste of time. Because I haven't achieved anything. Yes, I did all of this. I got this. But at the end of the day, I'm not making any profit whatsoever. Nothing. I'm taking nothing home. So the whole objective of the business is not being fulfilled. It's a failure. In the same way, respected elders and brothers, the real objective of the month of Ramadan is not for tilawat of Quran Sharif. The real objective of the month of Ramadan is not to perform Taraweeh Salah. The real objective of the month of Ramadan is not to give charities. All of that is in its place. It's essential, it's important. But the real goal of the month of Ramadan is the acquisition of the dawlat and the wealth of taqwa. Allah Himself has said this. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum, so that you can acquire the quality of taqwa. Therefore, from now already, like how that businessman, when he's starting off that business, he knows, I have to make sure that I get my goal. If a certain item is not really going to sell in this community, I rather not stock it at all. I rather stock more of this item so that I can make sure I get my profits. His main goal is to acquire his profits. In the same way, we need to already start looking now and conditioning our mind that I need to ensure that I develop this quality of taqwa in my life. And once again, what is the quality of taqwa? Kafful nafsi anil hawa. That the person develops that himmat, that courage, that strength to give up sins. The person sometimes is faced with certain scenarios. Brother Adil just spoke about the aspect of a person facing a woman. Now the command of the Quran Sharif is kullil mu'mineen yaghuddu min absarihim. Lower our gazes. Now I say, well, it's very hard to do it. How are you going to do it? But if the person, if Allah Ta'ala blesses the person with taqwa, then in fact the person will have so much of himmat and strength that even if you force him to look, he won't look. Look at the incident of Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah Ta'ala speaks about this is a salient example of taqwa. The entire essence of the surah towards the end, the final statement, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that whoever it is, and this is the beauty of the Quran Sharif, it's not specific to one particular category of individuals, that this is the story of a Nabi and this is only applicable to those people who are Ambi. Now Allah Ta'ala says that whoever adopts the same two qualities that Yusuf alayhi salam adopted in his life, taqwa and sabr, Allah will never allow his efforts to be wasted. Allah will never allow his efforts to be wasted. Allah is listening, Allah is watching, Allah can see the pain that you're going through. Allah is aware. Yusuf alayhi salam was faced with great temptation. Such temptation we cannot even imagine. Zulaykha in his home, allati huwa fi baytiha, he was in her home. Rawadathu, she seduced him. Ghallaqat al-abwab, she closed all the doors. Every avenue was against him. And then she invited him, she enticed him. And she was a woman of beauty, she was a woman of wealth. Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah had blessed him with the quality of taqwa. Qala ma'ad Allah. He says, I fear Allah. Oh, I seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu rabbi ahsana matwai. There are two interpretations. The one is that my master, meaning your husband, he has been very kind to me. And the other interpretation, innahu rabbi, my Rabb, my Allah has been so kind to me, that Allah who has blessed me, jisne sar baksha usse sarkashi zeba nahi, that Allah who has given me these bounties and these faculties, that Allah who has given me sight, if Allah wanted he could have made me blind, but Allah Ta'ala gave me sight, how then can I use this faculty of sight to violate that very command of that giver who has given me the sight? So the person immediately ponders over the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, استبق الباب. Yusuf alayhi salam didn't stay in that place. He immediately ran towards Allah Ta'ala. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. He ran towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala opened up all the means. So these are incidents which Allah has narrated in the Quran Sharif for us to derive lessons from it. That perhaps we may not have exactly the same scenario, but we'll have a similar situation in our own lives. We'll be faced with a similar situation, that there's some temptation to a particular sin, whatever sin it may be. Now the person immediately, he should turn to Allah and say, Allah, protect me. I am weak. Don't say, no. I got taluk with the greatest wali of Allah. Nothing. My father was a buzruk of the time. The person who, a Nabi who was so pious, even he didn't have trust on himself. He said, Ya Allah, I seek your protection. Only you can protect me. No one else. Never. That is why one of the treasures of Jannah is La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. This is regarded as a treasure of Jannah. A person should have a habit of reciting this. And especially when shaitan whispers certain things in our minds. Sometimes shaitan whispers certain things. That you know, you're doing everything, how come all these things happening to you? Or now all of a sudden, now you start to perform namaz and these things are going wrong in you. Shaitan whispers these thoughts in our mind. Immediately recite, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is something shaitan hates. And what does it really mean? La hawla an ma'siyatillah wa la quwwata ala ta'atillah illa bi'awnillah. That there is no capacity and capability to stay away from sins. And there is no strength to do good deeds except with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't do anything on our own. That person who focuses on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Today we had a discussion with the students with regards to this aspect of depression. Many people are suffering from this anxiety and depression. And it's become a situation where so many people are caught up in this. Some are even taking medication for depression, for anxiety. Some people are not sleeping at night. Some people are overwhelmed by these thoughts and evil thoughts of shaitan, from shaitan. What is the cure of this? Simple. Resigning our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the ayat, in the introduction that we recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown that Allah has certain knowledge of certain things and controls of certain things that's totally beyond our control. The person who is upset that things are not working out his way, then effectively he is trying to say that everything must happen the way I want it to happen. The world must run according to my desire. The reality is that we are subjected to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the world will run in accordance to Allah's command. That's why Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu mentioned, عَرَفْتُ رَبِّي بِفَسْقِ الْعَزَائِمِ. That I recognize my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. That whenever I made a firm resolution, Allah destroyed my resolution. The person said, right, we're leaving. 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, we leave. They have the bags packed, they have everything sorted, make sure the tire pressure, this, that, everything. And suddenly, something goes wrong, as a result, the entire trip is either postponed or completely cancelled. Then the person says, hey, we thought we could do everything. We thought we had everything set. But Allah showed us who's controlling the world. Don't think you control the world. Allah is the one who controls. That is why even when the person makes that firm resolution, at that time he says, Inshallah. We did everything, but if Allah wants us to go, then we're going. If Allah doesn't want us to go on that plane, there'll be some accident on the road. As a result, the whole road will be blocked. By the time we reach the airport, finished. Can't get on the plane. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, I recognize my Allah. I recognize the power of my Allah. When my resolutions were made and Allah destroyed me. Allah showed who is in control. So the person who has got this quality of tafweez, that I resign my will to Allah's will. I'm happy with Allah's decisions. I have done what I was supposed to do. I opened up the business. I thought I'd make so much profit, but I'm only making so much profit. But Allah decided this for me. I'm happy with Allah's decision. Our bills are being paid. Yes, I would have liked to have so much, but I'm getting so much. I'm happy with Allah Ta'ala's decision. That person, Alhamdulillah, there was one buzruk and wali of Allah. he made the statement, he said that the whole world is running according to my will. So the muftis at that time, they passed the fatwa that is out of the fold of Islam. So when their fatwa reached him, he sent a message to the muftis that, why don't you come to me and ask me why I'm saying what I'm saying. Obviously that statement outwardly it appears to me. When they asked him, so he said that, you see, what I'm saying is that I have resigned my will to the will of Allah. I have resigned my will to the will of Allah. Therefore, it is as if the world is running according to my will. Not that it's my will, but because my will is resigned to Allah's will, it's like everything is running according to my will. I'm happy with everything. So then the Mufti said, that's right. We don't understand there's khair in everything that happens. One buzruq, one wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he decided, he had a great large following. The people are constantly requesting, Hazrat, when you're leaving, we would like to travel with you for Umrah, with Hajj, etc. Those days they used to travel by ship. By the time they reach the harbour, they would get on horseback, etc. So he said, okay, inshallah, we will be leaving at a certain date. All his murids, they all made preparations. Everyone was very, very excited. Just so happened, Hazrat, as he was coming out, those days the door frames used to be very low. In that condition, without realizing, the mind may have been focused elsewhere. Allah Ta'ala wanted it to happen. As he was walking out, he banged his head on the door frame. The injury was so intense that he had to rest for a period of time. And as a result, he missed this thing. Now everyone was feeling so sad, and everyone was feeling so depressed. Only to realize that on that route that they were going to travel, there were some enemies of his that were waiting to assassinate him. They were waiting to assassinate him. That's why we don't understand. There's goodness in Allah Ta'ala's asa an takrahu shay'a. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, asa an takrahu shay'a wa yaj'al Allahu fihi khayran kathira. Perhaps you don't like something, but Allah has put khayr kathir in it. Allah has put so much of goodness in that you don't like it, but you don't realize the goodness in it. So nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, this month of Ramadan is a month which is coming close. Already start conditioning our mind. The hadith which we recited, and we'll just give a translation of that hadith to develop the quality of taqwa. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. Fear Allah wherever you may be. When Hazrat Mu'ayyidus Qadar Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, whether you're in the plane, whether you're in the train, whether you're on the crane. In other words, whether the person is in another country, whether the person is away from home, or the person is in the darkness of his room with no one present there, the taqwa has to transcend in every aspect of our lives. The person is in his office, he's all alone there, nobody is there. At that time too, he has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqwa is not only confined to the masjid. Taqwa has to be in every aspect of our lives. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fear Allah wherever you are. And how do we develop this quality of taqwa? Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is coming. It's an ideal opportunity for us to develop this quality of taqwa. That conscious awareness that Allah is. I'm not eating because Allah is watching. I'm not drinking because Allah is watching. I'm not speaking, making riba because Allah is watching. And that means 30 days of training is taking place to prepare and develop this quality of taqwa from now. But now, obviously, we are getting to the month of Ramadan. We are slipping, we are failing. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given a solution to them. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحَى. You are going to commit sins. You are human beings. You are weak. You're not some farishta or angel. You are going to make a mistake. And shaitan will tell you there's no hope for you. You must know, when a person loses hope in Allah Ta'ala, and he loses hope and starts giving up, you must know this is coming from shaitan. A believer and a mu'min never ever needs to lose hope to such an extent, respected elders and brothers. I heard this from our Shaykh Hazrat Muhammad Zursaf Dhamid Barakatuhu. As Thanvi Rahmatullah has even mentioned, that even those believers and mu'mineen who due to their sins will have to go to the fire of Jahannam. So he said they are going to Jahannam tathheeran, not ta'deema. They are going to Jahannam not as a punishment but as a cleansing. They will be put in Jahannam not to punish them, to actually purify them. And then Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah gives an example. Allahu Akbar. He said that a certain person, he has got a friend, a very close bosom friend of his. He is one of the top specialists in one particular hospital. And this person is suffering from some disease that this doctor has specialized in. So now he goes to the doctor and says, listen, I've got this problem. So that doctor says, listen, you just leave it to me. So what the doctor does, he does all the registration, application, everything, sorts everything out, deposit, everything done. He says, you come to the hospital on a certain day, you'll sort out the test. Now he's getting very, very upset. What's happening here? So we're going to do a small procedure on you. Meantime, it's a big operation. So we're going to do a small procedure on you. Then when you get excited, small procedure we'll be doing. And next thing you know, the anesthetist is there and giving him some injection. And after a period of time, he opens his eyes. And then he says, what happened here? A bandage on him, everything. He says, no, you had this thing here. So we operated on you. We cut your body open. We took out all these things here. We sorted it out. The operation was a total success. We take this medication here. We sort you out after a period of time. You'll be back to normal. So he says, in the same way, those mu'mineen who have committed sin and have to be thrown into the fire of Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala will make it such. So where we as mu'mineen should ever lose hope? There's no need to lose hope. Yeah. Of course, now we mustn't use that to say that, well, you know, it's fine. It's alright, we go to Jahannam in the weekend. Allah protect us. Allahumma hasibna hisaba yaseera. We must make dua ki, Ya Allah, enter us into Jannah without any letter. Don't even let us go near the fire of Jannah. We are weak. And that person too, when he's going to the hospital, there's some parishani that is there also. Coming, waking up, there's also a certain amount of parishani. But it's not going to be like that person who doesn't have those kind of contacts. The end of the day, even that person who's been thrown into the fire of Jahannam, who's a believer, at the end of the day, he's not an enemy of Allah. He's got iman. So therefore, he will not be thrown into Jahannam ta'deeman as a punishment, balke tathheeran, but rather to purify him. So therefore, we don't need to ever lose hope as mu'mineen. La ti'asu min rohillah, don't ever lose hope. So we don't need to lose hope. Yes, we will make commit sin. Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Majzub rahmatullah alayhi says, jo so baar toote to so baar jore. That person, he fell 100 times. You fell 100 times, get up 100 times. You committed the sin 100 times, get up 100 times, make tawbah 100. Shaitan will say, it's no hope for you. 100 times you committed the sin. Tell Shaitan, even if I bring the whole ocean of sins to my Allah, just one drop of my Allah's forgiveness will wipe everything. Everything. Bas. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. If you commit a sin, besides the tawbah and istighfar that you make, quickly follow that evil with a good deed. Follow that evil with a good deed. For example, a person was in a shop, there was a pretty woman that came in, he looked, and perhaps he looked more than he was supposed to have looked, he admired her beauty, and then he realized, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me. And then quickly, at that same spot, immediately start making, as we mentioned, istighfar. Or the person calls somebody and says, come here, you small little boy, there's a 15 rand or 10 rand, take this and go buy something for you. With the intention that inshallah this good deed will wipe out the effect of that evil. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. That follow a good deed, follow a sin with a good deed, quickly try and wipe it out. Hazrat used to say, Hazrat Muhammad Zissa, that on the day of Qiyamah, that ground upon which a person committed a sin will give testimony. But if the person did a good deed on that same ground, then inshallah, to barabar sarabar ho jayega. I think it will be equalized. Because just as that place was, Ya Allah, he committed a certain sin, that same ground was there, but Ya Allah, he also recited so many times Durood Sharif. He also made so many times Istighfar, so it will be equalized. So this is a beautiful advice and final advice, خَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, which requires a separate occasion, that try and interact with people with the best of character, best of akhlaq. This is something which is extremely important. Our interpersonal relationships with others is extremely important. It's an integral part of deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to implement these advices in our lives. This is the Shaykh. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad.
La ilaha illallah, 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 la illallah, la ilaha 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 illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
When you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, imagine that you have a tongue in the heart, tongue in the mouth, both are simultaneously taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine that everything around us, the ground beneath our feet, every single grain of sand on earth, every single leaf of every single tree, all taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is wajib to say to Allah Jalla wa ta'ala, Allah Jalla wa ta'ala,
Allah, 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 Allah,
العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله، فصل وسلم على محمد كما أنت أهله، وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله، فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. كريم الله رحيم الله، يا الله يا فضل كرم يا كادر يا سيئة تنعيت يا الله. Allah, we are raising our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah, extremely sinful servants of yours, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you have given us life in this month of Sha'ban, this Mubarak month of Sha'ban, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in a few days or weeks, Ya Allah, the month of Ramadan will commence, the Mubarak month of Ramadan will commence, Ya Allah. Allah, give us barakah in this month of Sha'ban, Ya Allah. Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah, in the month of Sha'ban, Ya Allah. Forgive our sins in this month, Ya Allah. Change the conditions of our hearts and lives, Ya Allah, so that we can be well prepared for the month of Ramadan. Allah, give us life in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Give us good health in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Give us good strength in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Make us of those, Ya Allah, who pass through the month of Ramadan, Iman and Wahtisaba, Ya Allah, with Iman, Ya Allah. Great hope in your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Taking advantage of every golden moment and second in the Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, therefore, Ya Allah, we are beseeching you, Ya Allah. We know how sinful we are, Ya Allah. Hum bahut hi kamzor hai. Oh Allah, we are extremely weak, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we stand up and then we fall again, Ya Allah. We take two steps towards you, Ya Allah, and then we fall back again, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, you know the intention of our hearts, Ya Allah. You know the deep-hearted desire of our hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we want to become yours, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we want to become close to you, Ya Allah. We want to experience your closeness too, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we want your mahabba and maghfirat, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, nafs and shaitan have overpowered us, Ya Allah. Nafs and shaitan, dono ne milkar, hai kya hai mujhko taba. Ey mere mola, meri madad kar. Chahta hu main teri panah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, there is no good deed that we can do, Ya Allah, except with your help and assistance, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, therefore we beg you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, change the direction of our hearts, Ya Allah. Pull us towards you, Ya Allah. Make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins, Ya Allah. Forgive those sins which you committed knowingly and unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of night, oh Allah. We are not justifying any sin that we may have committed, Ya Allah. We are guilty in all counts, Ya Allah. We know how weak we are, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, therefore there is regret and nadamat and remorse in our hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you blessed us with sight, yet we lose this sight for your disobedience, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you blessed us with so many ni'mats, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, we use these bounties and ni'mats to violate your commands, Ya Allah. How tolerant you are, Ya Allah. How halim and rahim and kareem you are, Allah. That you did not snatch these bounties away from us, Ya Allah. If we give some bounty to someone, Ya Allah, and they don't appreciate it, we take it away from them, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, we used your bounties on so many occasions to violate your commands. But still you give us so many ni'mats and bounties, Ya Allah. Where will we find such a Raheem Kareem, Allah? Oh Allah, change the condition of our hearts, Ya Allah. Amin. Musaffa Mujalla Muzakka Dil Ata Farma. Oh Allah, make our hearts clean and pure, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with your mahabbat, Ya Allah. Bless us with your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Bless us with the great wealth of taqwa, Ya Allah. The very reason for which you are giving us this month of Ramadan, Oh Allah. Bless us with taqwa, Ya Allah. That wherever we are conscious of you, Ya Allah. And because of that, we stay and we get the himmat and the courage to stay away from sin, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Oh Allah. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah, Ya Allah. Give us barakat in our homes, Ya Allah. Barakat in our families, Ya Allah. Barakat in our businesses, Ya Allah. Barakat in our health, Ya Allah. Barakat in our wealth, Ya Allah. Barakat in every ni'mat that you have granted us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect us, Ya Allah. Protect our progenies and our children, Ya Allah. Make our children neck and pious scarce, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our progenies till the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Keep them on sirat al-mustaqim, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless them with hasanat in dunya wal akhirah, Ya Allah. Make them a means of sadaqah jariyah of us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are living in a very, very, Ya Allah, a period of trial and tribulation, Ya Allah. There is so much of fitna around us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, but you are the best of protectors, Ya Allah. Protect us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect our families and our businesses and our homes and our madaris and our masajid and our hanqas, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh, protect all the works of deen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, ek din marna hai aakhir. We have to leave this world one day, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are all heading towards our graves, Ya Allah.
As every second passes by, a minute and week, Ya Allah. It's 1 minute and 1 week and 1 year closer to our graves, Ya Allah. Some people are celebrating their birthdays, Ya Allah. But the reality is it's 1 year closer to their graves, Ya Allah. There is nothing to celebrate, especially if we have violated your commands, Ya Allah. We should be crying, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, therefore, Ya Allah, when the time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Medina Sharif, Ya Allah. In the Rawdah Mubarak of Nabi Paak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salatu was-salamu alayka, Ya Rasool Allah. Allah cause our souls to depart, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, if it is not muqaddar there, muqaddar there, wherever it may be, let it be a death of barakat, Ya Allah. Do not let the angel of death find us in any sin and guna, Ya Allah. Oh Allah. Oh Allah, give us, Ya Allah, the istihdar and the realization of death, Ya Allah. That death can come at any moment, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are well aware the good desires, the aspirations, the wishes of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you, Ya Allah, fulfill all the good desires and aspirations. Whatever difficulty, pain, challenge they are going through, you know very well, sickness, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you, Ya Allah, assist and alleviate and give shifa, Ya Allah. All those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. All our children, Ya Allah, those who are becoming hafiz, make them hafiz ba'amal, Ya Allah. Many, many of our students, Ya Allah, and friends will be qualifying as ulama, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make them alim ba'amal, Ya Allah. Accept them all for the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. All the madaris in which the students will be qualifying, protect these madaris, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make these madaris markaz of hidayat, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, this hanka, Ya Allah, keep it abad till the day of qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the masjid that is coming up in Jamaat, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make it reach completion with ease, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make it a center of hidayat, Ya Allah. And make it a means of sadaqah jariyah for all those who are involved in it, whichever way it may be, Ya Allah. Till the day of Qiyamah, produce the Ghazalis, the Rumis, the Bukharis of the time, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, accept us all for the khidmat of your Mubarak deen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with the beautiful akhlaq of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, alleviate the suffering of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allahu wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu tasleema. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah.